Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. The need for charitable donations these days is huge. You've probably seen the news stories about, you know, food bank usage. You certainly have seen the headlines about what's going on in terms of war and crisis and drought, and all these sorts of things. And many people want to donate money to help. But how do you ensure that you're donating your money in the most effective way possible? There are some strategies. There are certainly some things to think about to make your money go farther when it comes to giving to charity. Craig Swiston is a portfolio manager at Lexicon Financial Group at Raymond James Investment Counsel, and he's here to talk about some of those ideas. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
When you think about the effectiveness of donations, we're going to talk about some tactics in a second, but broadly speaking, what does that phrase mean to you, donating effectively?
It's a great question. It means understanding what the cause you're donating to is struggling with or is dealing with at the moment. Do they need money now, for example, for something that's urgent? Do they need money to continue their mission or their vision, or do they need money for an endowment to put aside for, you know, the future? And so I think it's important that before you make a donation, you understand how that donation is going to be used. And that's the beginning of effectiveness, which is understanding who you're donating to and why you're donating and what they're going to do with the money that you send their way.
There are so many requests for donations. They come at us from all sides, and well, they should, because, you know, those donations are critical to the operations of many of these charities globally. How do you advise clients to sort through the emails and the ads and the calls from friends and all those sorts of things to narrow it down to causes that are going to be most resonant for them?
Well, it starts with understanding that you are absolutely under no obligation to give. And a simple no or a no thank you may be enough. And if somebody tries to pressure you with some high pressure tactics to donate, it probably means that they're not the right organization for you to be supporting. But more critically, it involves kind of an exercise where you yourself and your family go through and identify the causes that are most important to you. And once you've realized what those causes are, then you can say no to the ones that don't fit inside that strategic framework. So I always encourage people to not give strategically by supporting those causes that you've pre-identified, so that you're not tempted to give to everybody that solicits you for a dollar.
So what do you do when you go to check out at the grocery store? Are you tempted or you graciously decline?
I say no 100% of the time. And it's not that the causes that are being supported aren't valuable. They are, but they number one, they may not be the causes that are most important to me. So I need to figure out if that cause is the most important one to me. And if it is, there are better ways to donate. When you donate at the checkout counter, when you give $2 or when you donate to a GoFundMe, I'm not suggesting that those aren't important causes, but you don't get a donation tax receipt. And receiving a donation tax receipt from a registered charity is a way that you can save money on your income taxes. Everybody likes to save money on your income taxes, but it also means that with that tax savings, you might be able to afford to donate even more to those causes that are most important to you. So the lack of a donation tax receipt for me is something that I'm not maximizing the potential impact I can have on an important cause.
Great segue. You've developed some e-learning that goes through a couple of strategies. First is understanding the donation tax credit. I'm going to ask you to simplify what you take 15 minutes in the e-learning to do, but what are the key things people should know about the donation tax credit?
The first thing is, before you donate, you want to make sure that you are donating to a registered charity. And if you have questions about that, all charities in Canada are registered and information is available on the Canada Revenue Agency site. So it's always a good idea to either ask directly or check yourself. When you receive a donation tax credit, the tax credit depends on your province of residence, and it also depends on your income. But regardless, every dollar that you donate comes with some form of a tax advantage that reduces your overall tax payable. So if you're donating $50, $500, $5,000, that tax credit is something that you can look forward to when you file your income taxes. Everybody sees the little boxes that you have to fill out. When you fill them out, if it's a $20 or a $40 or a $500 tax benefit to you, it's something that the federal government has instituted for a long time to encourage charitable giving.
when you are in a partnership, there can be some advantages in terms of who takes that credit, even if, you know, it comes from the family purse, but sometimes in a couple, one person earns more, one person earns less. Whose tax return should this go on?
Well, the person who has the higher income, who's paying the most in tax.
Yeah, because they'll be in a marginal tax.
Correct. The other thing that's interesting about charitable donations is that they can be carried forward to future years. So if you're making a donation in one calendar year, but you expect to be making more money, more taxable income in subsequent years, you may wish to hold off claiming that donation. That's something people should sit down with their tax accountant and figure out.
The other broad strategy that you developed the e-learning on is the gift of appreciated securities. How does that work?
Well, many people aren't aware that you can donate more than just cash to charities. And one of the things that you can donate is an appreciated security. So imagine you have a stock or a bond in a non-registered or taxable investment account, stock, bond, mutual fund, whatever it happens to be. If that stock has increased in value, if you were to sell that stock, you would realize a capital gain, the difference between what you paid for it and what you sold it for. Capital gains, of course, are subject to taxation. Obviously, they're tax advantaged. They're only taxed at 50%, but they are still taxed. So those, you'd have to claim that on your income tax. If you donate that security to a charity, you will never sell the security. Therefore, you never trigger the capital gain. Therefore, you never pay tax on the capital gain. The tax advantage that accrues to an individual who donates, it really depends on what is the unrealized gain on the security that's being donated and what is your marginal tax bracket. But in all cases, it amounts to something. It is better to donate a security to a charity than it is to sell the same security and donate the cash proceeds.
Does the charity pay that capital gain?
No, charities don't pay the tax on capital gain.
So the government is missing out on tax revenue.
I can't think of a more popular phrase.
You're thrilled. That's amazing.
Look, there's only a couple.
What are the logistics of that? How hard is that to actually pull off?
It is incredibly easy if you're working with a professional advisor. It is simply most charities, they will either have it set up with an online donation portal. There are some groups that are intermediaries for the online donation of securities, or it may be as old-fashioned as you fill out a form with your investment advisor or your wealth advisor, specifying which securities you wish to donate, to which charity you wish to donate them, and the back office at the investment dealer will take care of the rest.
So another strategy is to make your donation go further is to be really clear that you're supporting a charity that will make your dollars go as far as possible. There are some questions about how you best determine what effectiveness means and, you know, whether it's a ratio or whether it's your belief in the board, the management. How do you guide people on the effectiveness, how to determine the effectiveness of the charities they choose to support?
It's a great question, Bruce. It's a difficult one to answer because it really starts with what are the causes that you're most passionate about supporting? And it's if you can identify the causes, whether it's the environment, whether it's education, whatever those causes are, then it's about identifying the charities that you identify the most with. And I would say getting on the phone and asking them some of the difficult questions. Charities have overhead. And one of the challenges in the marketplace right now is that the overhead costs of operating a charity are increasing. It's called inflation. We've all been dealing with it. So have the nonprofits in the charitable sector. But a percentage of the donations have to go to offset the overhead. If the charity you're most passionate about, for example, is into advocacy, most of their costs are going to be overhead. So it's not fair to treat them the same way as you might treat something, like you said in the intro, like a food bank, whose work is a little more in serving the community directly. So I think the best thing is understand what causes you're most passionate about. Get on the phone and ask those difficult questions. The other thing I would say is that there's a number of studies out there that the charitable sector, a lot of people think that people who work in the charitable sector should be doing it for free. I disagree. I think that the best charities are going to be the ones that are populated and staffed with the best people. And sometimes that means you have to pay them a little bit more. So I'm not opposed to charities who pay their people, but to get the best talent, because that's the mission we want to advance. I'd rather have qualified people advancing the mission than maybe people who are a little underqualified.
How do you help clients think through what amount, what percentage of assets or what percentage of income they might consider donating? And I know you're going to say it depends, but are there rules of thumb? Are there questions one can ask to provide some guidance here?
Yeah, it depends. No, the reality is that it is different for every client situation. But let's take an average situation. If you're working with somebody who has completed a financial plan and they've included a percentage of charitable giving into that plan, that's one way to absolutely get it. We as a family decide we're going to give X number of dollars a year, and you bake that into your financial plan and your financial projections. If you're talking about maybe people who have a little more wealth, a lot of times what we find is that, these would be your top percentile Canadians. They have more money than they will spend for the remainder of their life. The question is, do you leave it to your estate or do you leave it to a charity? You may decide to give it to the charity today while you're still alive. And that's just a question of trying to determine how much money do I require in my investment portfolio to sustain my lifestyle until, you know, kind of the end of my days. So I think the easiest way for Canadians is to set aside a certain amount. This is how much we're going to give to charity on an annual basis and make that a line item in a financial plan.
One last question before we go here. If there was one pitfall when it comes to donating to charity over and above all the stuff that we've talked to today, what would you say the pitfall would be and how do you avoid it?
I think the biggest pitfall for many people is regret. And it's difficult to say that because every charity is deserving of some support. But I find a lot of people will make a donation to a cause that's very important to them today, and then tomorrow that cause isn't so important anymore. And it's not because they don't believe in the first cause. It's that, you said it as well in the intro, life changes. People want to support causes that are important. And over the course of their life, the causes that are important to them also change. And so there are some structures for larger amounts that can avoid some of that regret. But I think it's people saying, you know, I wish I could have done more for this cause instead of the other one. Because once a charitable donation is made, it can't be rescinded. So there's always that, when you're dealing with $50 or $100 donations, the regret is not as acute as it is if you're talking about larger sums of money. But it's overcoming that fear that you might regret your decision down the road.
Really interesting stuff. Craig, thank you for making the time for us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bruce.
Craig Swiston is a portfolio manager at Lexicon Financial Group at Raymond James Investment Counsel. He's developed some e-learning segments on understanding the donation tax credit and on gifting appreciated securities. So do a Google search. You'll find them and you'll find that insight.